that you take us from those places that aren't so great and you lift us up. You put our feet on a rock and you love us to bits. Help us to trust you to do that for us, to lift us out of what's not good, what's not great, where we don't feel fabulous, and lift us. Amen. Please have a seat, and musicians, please have a seat as well. The reading is from Job chapter 10, verses 1 to 17, and after that, Gail is going to speak to us. The words of Job himself. I loathe my very life. Therefore, I will give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. I say to God, do not declare me guilty, but tell me what charges you have against me. Does it please you to oppress me, to spurn the work of your hands, while you smile on the plans of the wicked? Do you have eyes of flesh? Do you see as a mortal sees? Are your days like those of a mortal, or your years like those of a strong man, that you must search out my faults and probe after my sin, though you know I am not guilty and that no one can rescue me from your hand? Your hand shaped me and made me. Will you now turn and destroy me? Remember that you molded me like clay. Will you now turn me to dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? Clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. You gave me life and showed me kindness, and in your providence watched over my spirit. But this is what you concealed in your heart, and I know this was in your mind. If I sinned, you'd be watching me and would not let my offence go unpunished. Even if I am guilty, woe to me. Even if I am innocent, I cannot lift my head, for I am full of shame and drowned in my affliction. If I hold my head high, you stalk me like a lion and display your awesome power against me. You bring new witnesses against me and increase your anger toward me. Your forces come upon me, wave after wave.
Morning, everyone. Morning. It's good to be with you. It's been a while, but I'm glad to be back and with you and having the opportunity to share with you. So I begin by sharing something that I'm not sure any of you will know about me. But one of the things I discovered a few years ago is that studying people's life stories, their biographies, is often how I learn about the nature of God. It's really helpful for me to sort of contemplate what the nature of God is like. And so back in 2014, I wrote some Bible study notes based on the biographies of key historical Christian figures. There were five of them, and one of those figures was Martin Luther King Jr. So the booklet, if anyone's interested, is called Text and Story, Prophets for Their Time and Ours. And I'm not suggesting anyone get it, but I know sometimes people ask me, what was the title? So there you go. So one of the fascinating things I found as I did my research into the life of Martin Luther King Jr. for this booklet was how his family, church, life, education provided him with a clear understanding, despite the segregated living in the society he was living in at the time in America, despite that, he didn't accept a sort of badge of inferiority. He was confident about who he was, regardless of what society said about his worth. And he sought to ensure that others also knew their worth after all, we are all made in God's image, so we are all of value. And so the book of Job that we are focused on at the moment tells us about the life experiences of Job. And so you can imagine, here I am, I learn a lot about people's life stories, biographies. And it's an opportunity to learn something about the nature of God, because the book is full of conversations between Job and God. It's an interesting book, as I'm sure you're discovering, where there's lots of wisdom, we might say, that comes from it. A lot of it's poetry, there's lots of imagery, poetic writing, the vast majority of it. And then there's just some bits which are what I call ordinary writing or prose. So it's interesting. And people sometimes struggle as to know what to do with Job, because it is pretty hard going. I mean, even our reading this morning, it's pretty tough, it's pretty heavy. And so many people say one of the great ways to think of Job is to explore the nature and character of God through listening to the conversations. It's a bit challenging because of the idea that you could come away with of God being a bit mean in terms of taking things away from Job before ultimately returning them to him. But I guess, like most scripture, when we read a little section, we put it into the bigger context of all of scripture, all of what's in the Bible. And we see the character of God fully working out. A God, as Karen said earlier, that wants great things for us. A God that isn't mean. A God that has great plans for us. And so, again, as I say, some people have regarded Job as a book that is not necessarily about literal events, but actually about an exploration of Job's experiences. I leave it to you to decide whether or not you see it as literally or whether or not it is an exploration. But as I say, whatever way in which we take it, we remember the character of God that we find throughout Scripture, which is good. As we think of that character of God we have in mind, which is good and positive, it's difficult to then reconcile it with some of the verses in our reading. In verse 8, where we're told, this is the God that formed Job with his hands. In verse 10, this is the God that guided Job's conception and formed Job in the womb. It continues, this is the God that clothed Job with skin and flesh and knitted his bones and sinew or ligaments together. This is the God that gave Job life and showed Job unfailing love and preserved Job's life by his care. God has a plan for us, and it's a good one. But Job, we might say, as a book, also challenges us about simple theology, simple understandings of how God works. Sometimes it's easy to think this is how it is. Good people are blessed and they don't suffer. Wicked people are punished and suffer. But that's just not how things work out. Sometimes good people do suffer, and I'm sure we all know as we live our everyday lives. I was at a funeral recently, a family friend in Birmingham, where someone was very emotional as he spoke of the person that he'd lost. And he said something which was really shocking to hear at the time. But he said, why do such good people die so young? And why do wicked people sometimes seem to live for such a long time? He was speaking as the rawness of what it can feel like when we suffer and we don't feel that we've done anything wrong. And it's easy to forget when we find ourselves in difficult times that we still have choices to make in those circumstances that can have an impact on the path our lives take. When bad things happen to us that are no fault of our own, how do we remember in those difficult times? There are choices that we can still make that can have an impact on the paths our lives take. in the story of Job, we see how his friends point out to different ways he can view the difficult situation he finds himself in. We might say they're not always helpful in what they say. And I find it interesting that there is a focus in the book of Job on the advice, sometimes, as I say, bad advice he gets from his friends. Because we know, as we study scripture, as we think just of Genesis chapter 2, God has designed us to live not alone, but in community with one another. So consequently, if we are to develop as God intends, the relationships that we have from birth are absolutely key. They help shape us into the people we become. And there's a quote that I found really helpful over the years that reminds me of that. And these are the words. Babies are like the raw material for self. Each one comes with a genetic blueprint and a unique range of possibilities. There is a body programmed to develop in certain ways, but by no means an automatic program. Each baby has a unique personal store of genes which can be activated by experience. Already in the first weeks, a temperamental bias may be apparent. Some babies may be born more reactive and sensitive to stimulation than others. It's fascinating as we reflect on that principle. I was with a friend who has two babies, one very recently. She was reflecting on a similar thing, very different temperaments. So as we think about that wonderful plan that God has for us and how bad experiences can sometimes derail us, where people treat us as they're not meant to treat us, we recognise that opportunity to make choices that shape the trajectory of our life as we move forward. I go back to Martin Luther King Jr. that I began with. That famous Baptist minister found himself in a position where society treated him badly. He had choices, options he could make in that moment. He chose to focus on the way God saw him, not the way society saw him. And he also, as I said, began to focus on helping others see him and others that looked like him, how God saw him. And then he had a plan and he executed it with God's help. The story of Martin Luther King Jr., like the story of Job, shows us that the innocent can suffer. And the story of Job is also, we might say, a prelude to the biggest example of that in the form of the crucifixion of Christ. If you look for an example of the good that suffer through no fault of their own, Jesus Christ. And we get a glimpse of this Christ, the Redeemer, that will come later on in Job. Job chapter 19, verse 25, where Job says, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last." Job ultimately trusts in God's redeeming character, even in the hardest moments of life. But let's be real, that comes, as we will hear in these verses, after really wrestling with God in conversation about the suffering that he was experiencing. So where are we? Where do we find ourselves this morning? I don't know if anyone feels like Job, a bit like Job right now. I have no idea. God knows how each of us feels. But the chances are we know someone in our life who maybe feels a little bit like Job. And there's this question, how do we come alongside people feeling a bit like Job, feeling doomed? We want everyone to know the character of God is good. And to know the depths of God's love for us through the story of the life, the death, and resurrection of Christ. We also want people to know that whilst we are all born with the capacity to live in right relationship with God, God never compels or forces us to love him or to follow him or serve him. God gives us free will, to choose this for ourselves. The evidence of that? The gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the way Christ engages with people. He always gives people a choice to follow him as a disciple or not, to learn and follow his example. And as the story of Job unfolds, as I've already mentioned, we will find examples where Job is not always surrounded by friends who constantly remind him of the goodness of God, Job himself at times struggles to see God's goodness for himself. I take us back to some of those verses. Verse 13, yet your real motive, your true intent was to watch me, and if I sinned, you would not forgive my guilt. If I am guilty, too bad for me, and even if I'm innocent, I can't hold my head high because I'm filled with shame and misery. And if I hold my head high, you hunt me like a lion and display your awesome power against me. He's struggling in that moment. And so perhaps part of our challenge today from that reading is how do we learn and grow to be as empathetic as we possibly can, as helpful as we possibly can, and as an encouraging presence as we possibly can to those struggling to see the goodness of God in difficult times. Reminding ourselves and others that God so often provides opportunities for us to experience respite, even in difficult circumstances, in the short term, but ultimately will liberate us from that suffering. For some people in this life, for others in the life to come. Again, as we look to the stories in the gospel accounts of those that encounter Christ, we see that again and again. Lives are transformed. On our weekly sheet, our Countess weekly sheet, which I'm sure you all read, I have read mine, we have a question that says, can we keep hold of truths about God even when things have gone wrong? Can we keep hold of truths about God even when things have gone wrong? And the challenge, rehearse what you know of God's character. And I wonder, as I have been speaking this morning and talking about the goodness of God throughout Scripture, I wonder what images have come to mind for you. What stories, what characters, what names immediately say to you, yes, God is good. That is the reminder, the powerful reminder. Maybe it's not a particular character or verse. Maybe it's a song. I've been really blessed this morning listening to the songs, the lyrics, the words. They've touched my heart. That's part of how God speaks to me, as well as the biographies, the life stories of people. There's a song that dates back for me, I think, to about 2007. Possibly 2008, and it's called My Redeemer Lives. It's a gospel song by a lady called Nicole C. Mullen, written in about the year 2000. And I remember that song because at the time I was working with a young person who was singing, and she was in a competition, and I had the pleasure of accompanying her and her mom to this competition, and this was the song that she chose to sing. And I'm going to read some of the words to you. Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies. This life within me cries, I know my Redeemer lives. And she continues, and she uses lots of imagery and comes back constantly to, I know my Redeemer lives. And for me, when times are difficult. And that's why I find it interesting later in Job we find that reference to him talking about his Redeemer. I know my Redeemer lives is the refrain that comes back to me. I know my Redeemer lives. As we ponder what God has to say to us this morning, I'm going to encourage you just to rest in some of those words of that song, I know my Redeemer lives. I'm going to give you a few more verses before I lead us in a time of prayer. The very same God that spins things in orbit, runs to the weary, the worn and the weak. And the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. Now I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. He lives to take away my shame, and he lives forever. I'll proclaim that the payment for my sin was the precious life he gave. But now he's alive and there's an empty grave. And I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer. My Redeemer lives. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for the opportunity to know, love, and serve you. Thank you that you never compel or force us to follow your ways, but you simply give us the opportunity to choose, knowing there is no better way. Thank you for the opportunities to rest in your loving arms, for those moments and those spaces where we feel your embrace. Thank you for the opportunity to be part of a church fellowship where there is the opportunity for people to feel your loving embrace through the words we speak, for the comforting presence we offer through the power of your Holy Spirit as we act as your hands and your feet. Loving God, thank you that you know where we are this morning, each of us. You know the weeks we've had, the morning we've had. You know the joys we are celebrating. You know the challenges we face. In the midst of all of this, may we be able to cry out, I know you, my Redeemer lives. Loving God, open our eyes, our hearts and minds to those around us who are struggling to recognize that you, our Redeemer, lives. Slow us down when we need to slow down so that we can have eyes to see as you see. Where our hearts are hard, help us to soften them so that they may break for what breaks your heart. Loving God, where we have plenty and we don't even recognize how blessed we are, open our eyes and enable us to open that which we have and share it generously with those in need. Loving God, as many in this world struggle to recognize the beauty of your character, your nature, help us to open their eyes to see just how beautiful you are. Loving God, as we wrestle with the story of Job, the reality of the ups and downs of life, may we not wrestle with your character, recognizing that you are good, that you are indeed, as Scripture reminds us, the beginning and the end. indeed love its very self. Loving God, through this coming week and the days to come, help us to cry out together, I pray, I know my Redeemer lives. Amen.